Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron will take care of you. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And I now have the Twitch thing up, so if you want to comment on Twitch, you can do that. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on the Watch Us on Twitch, and then you can go in the chat room. I don't know why you'd want to watch us, but you see AJ all dressed up from morning meetings and me dressed like a bum from leaving the gym. So
yeah, after morning meetings, you go to the gym. I go to my office.
Yep. And so I come in wearing a t-shirt, comfortable.
You picked the smarter secondary job. Well, maybe not. You have to do a lot of work too.
I do. Well,
you just don't have to do it at the office.
Right. I can do a lot from home. The only negative is that most of it, like I have to do a lot starting at 6 a.m.
Oh yeah.
Which is never fun. So, but the positive to it is I can work from home almost as much as I want. Which is really good because that gives me some flexibility, and because it's the internet, you know, I could do it from Zimbabwe if I wanted to, so that's a positive. But I also like being around the office sometimes because you know I do like to spend time coming up with ideas with people, but we usually do that in the meetings. So regardless, I have a story that's right up your alley that just moved on Twitter, and this is the kind of thing that I'm surprised you didn't see before me. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention are reporting that there has been a recent rise in a fecal parasite called crypto. It's actually cryptosporidium, but they call it crypto for short because sporidium. So if you're going to go in your swimming pool, it can enter the body when a swimmer ingests or swallows contaminated water. And
it's caused by pubic hair, isn't it?
It's caused by fecal matter in the pool.
God, why are people pooping in pools? Why is there poop in pools? What are we? Heathens? I mean, we're an evolved society.
You would think. Would you like to hear what happens if you get this crypto in your system by ingesting it, by accidentally swallowing contaminated water?
Tell me.
Profuse watery diarrhea for as many as 3 weeks.
Oh, God.
This is your kind of story.
I don't want that.
Nobody wants that.
No.
First off, if you're going swimming, don't swallow the water. Let's start with that. And number two, don't poo in it. Can we just avoid that? I wonder if it's like little kids or something. They get in the pool.
I hope that it's happening when someone actually poops in the pool. And not just like microscopic particles from somebody who doesn't wipe that well.
Well, yeah, it could be that.
But I don't know. Man, is no place safe at this point?
Apparently not.
The effects can be worse for children, pregnant women, and those with compromised immune systems. Thank God I'm none of those things. Ugh.
That, I can't imagine 3 weeks of that. That would be the worst.
Gross.
Well, just for you.
Well, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that story. Stop pooping in pools, America.
If you saw this, but because this affects me sometimes, because this is how I go to Specs after work on the way home. They're closing the Spur 527 exit to Brazos Street in downtown because apparently it's falling down.
Oh, really?
It says the bridge deck has deteriorated significantly. and is being closed immediately to protect the community from falling debris.
Well, that's probably a good move.
Yeah. I mean, you could still, like, take Travis in Louisiana, but that's my direction I go when I'm going to Specs. Straight down there, and, yeah.
Yeah, anytime these bridges are, like, going to fall, I feel like you should just shut them down and fix them. Like, that giant bridge in Lake Charles.
Yeah.
That's, like, apparently, I mean, so unsafe. You're not supposed to drive on it, but it's still open. My wife makes us go all the way around, like to go on that.
Yeah, I do that sometimes
past the
too.
Casinos. Yeah. She won't drive over that bridge. If I'm by myself, I just take my chances.
Yeah, know? I mean, if you die, who cares?
If it falls while I'm on it, like, you know, I'm on that bridge for a minute and a half.
Nice
if
lawsuit.
That's the 90 seconds that it happens, then it's my time. But
except the traffic's always bad there, so it winds up being more than 90 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes it's faster to go around.
Yeah.
So I almost always do that. I'll take the loop around there. Mainly because that bridge scares the crap out of me. If you look, I hate big bridges like that. And like if I'm not paying attention, it's no big deal, but it's hard not to notice that one. And I always kind of, I don't want to say I freak out, but it makes me anxious.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Brother Bear says, I'm not a scientist, but I thought chlorine is strong enough to kill that stuff.
Apparently not.
No? No, I'm telling you.
Apparently not.
That's why the CDC had to issue a warning.
That's a scary thing.
He says, I'm okay with Astros trading for Stroman if they don't have that major trade for Scherzer or Thor. I'd be very happy to get Stroman here. I'd take him on a rental.
I would, too. I heard something earlier about Astros being interested in Matt Boyd from the Tigers. And, of course, they are starting with, we want Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
To which, I mean, at this point, if I'm the Astros, I just say yes. Matt Boyd's a proven major league pitcher. Kyle Tucker is, he might be really good, but he plays a position that you have, I mean, unless you 100% plan on not bringing back George Springer, you need to get rid of Kyle Tucker or Derek Fisher or both because.
Well, Derek Fisher, I don't think by now, you don't really see him as a major league option.
But
I think the long term is you'd want to replace Reddick with him. Theoretically.
But how many more years does Reddick have?
I think he's got two.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. Because is Marisnyk or Straw or either of those guys in your long-term plans?
I'd like to have Miles Straw in my long-term plans.
I would too.
And for the right price, Marisnyk too. And if those, I mean, because if that's your fourth and fifth outfielder, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, you know, and you got Springer for one more year after this, if I'm not mistaken, arbitration-wise. So the next 2 years you're pretty set,
right?
And Brantley's under contract for next year too. Boy, what a good signing that was.
So that's what I'm saying. Are you just going to keep those guys around forever? Like, what? At some point, don't you have enough of those guys that it's like, all right, let's.
Yeah, I don't know because
and Alvarez. I mean, yes, Alvarez can be the DH. I mean, unless you've got a guy like. You know, like David Ortiz was a guy who's just a complete liability in the field. I hate the idea of having a full-time DH. You know, I understand, like, you know, if you've got four quality outfielders, you want your worst defensive guy to be your DH regularly. But don't just say, well, Yordan Alvarez is just a DH. I mean, that's...
Well, he's 21. You hope he could still develop some skills in the field.
Saying.
And maybe... And that's the thing. Maybe he doesn't get as many opportunities up here as you'd like, but if his bat's going to keep doing what it's doing,
he's going to have plenty of opportunities.
You need to get him in the lineup. Let's squeeze in a call, Mike. What's up, Mike?
Sports guys.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, you mentioned crypto. Lived in Wisconsin for quite a long time. The city of Milwaukee storm drain and sewers are combined together in the city. And early 90s, some idiot at the water department with a huge rainstorm turned the switch the wrong way and partially treated sewage was dumped into the water system. I was one of the lucky people who got that. I was sick for about a week with what you described.
Oh,
but there was hundreds of thousands of people, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, upwards of 20 people were killed as a result of that.
Yeah,
but they yeah.
Well, sorry for your loss.
I guess it's old people and children died, huh?
Oh, Mr. Gray says, I'm from Lake Charles. We stopped using the I-10 after Rita. The riverboat was banging up against the concrete pole.
Oh, jeez. A32 asked, did Angry Fred show up at the meeting today after Friday's email? I high-roaded it very well. I just decided I'm not going to let somebody who had no business commenting on something ruin what was a very successful month for us.
So, yeah.
So there.
You even high-roaded it in the meeting, even though I tried to stir you up.
Oh, I know. I know. I was, believe me, if I had wanted to go ahead and go full nuclear on him, I would have told you what to ask. Said, all right, here we go. But no, I high-roaded it. I'm getting better at that.
There you go.
I really am in my old age. It's just, what do I care about somebody who has nothing to say about any about what we're doing saying something? You know, what does it matter?
God, you know what I found also while I was looking at this, looking at the story you were telling me about the crypto?
Mm-hmm. I told you this was right up your alley.
A survey finds that half of Americans used a swimming pool as a substitute for showering after working out. They found that 51% of people used a pool to rinse off after exercising. The study also revealed that 40% of people have admitted to peeing in the pool.
Ugh. I wonder, does this like apply to...
By the way, I think more than 40% of people have peed in the pool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially when alcohol's involved.
Yeah.
Do you think this applies to like the whirlpools? Because I like to use a whirlpool in the gym sometime.
I'm sure.
But I don't swallow. I mean, I don't get my mouth anywhere near the water there.
Save that drop. No, but do you still shower afterwards?
Oh yeah, definitely. You don't use that as your shower. You know, what I'll do is I work out and then I'll go sit in that, especially if I've been lifting weights because I'm old and I get sore, and that helps. And then I'll go sit in the sauna for a little bit and then I shower.
Yeah.
And always wear shower shoes.
Always.
Now, if I don't have my shower shoes for some reason, I'm not working out. I'm not going in that because the gym is one of the most disgusting places in the world.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like the bottom of a cab in there.
I've forgotten. It's pretty shower shoes. It's one of the worst things you can forget. And I have taken showers in my gym shoes.
I've done that too.
And just
yeah,
dried them out when I got home.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Not but, ideal.
No, it's a last resort.
It's better than getting crypto on your foot.
Yeah,
whatever the hell. I don't know how it gets you.
People are pooing in those showers.
Yeah.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Happy Monday. Short week for most people. So, really, this is like your Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because a lot of you guys are taking Thursday and Friday off. And from the traffic around town today, or lack thereof, I guess people are already taking a bunch of time off. Hey, first CFL bet of the year?
Get it.
Are you ready?
Get it.
Toronto, Saskatchewan tonight, under 52.5.
Okay.
So, can't play the side there because Saskatchewan's an 11-point favorite and they're terrible. But Toronto is historically bad, so... how about both offenses suck and we go under 52.5?
There you go.
That's my very first play of the year on Canadian Football League. So we shall see. Had to do it on Canada Day. Ken said, just got in the car and all I hear is, you know, people poop in those showers. And Longhorn Dimitri thought we were talking about cryptocurrency.
No.
No. This is
a much more dangerous, much more volatile situation.
Oh, man. 57 years old, going back to the gym after double knee replacement. What is the etiquette now with sauna and steam room? Wear swim trunks or what?
Yeah, wear something. Wear gym shorts or...
Yeah.
A minimum, wear a towel that is actually wrapped around your lower half. Don't just sit on a towel naked.
Yeah, don't do that. No, I think it's this. It's real simple. I always bring swim trunks. I always wear swim trunks in the sauna and in the whirlpool.
Okay.
And I always have a towel with me. But, yeah, you have to have, at least the gym I go, you have to have clothes on in there. But, I mean, I don't mind wandering around with no shirt, but you definitely just take some swim trunks.
Yeah.
It's easy enough. If it's an all-male gym or something where, you know, the sauna's, it's all dudes and there's probably some guys free-balling in there. But mine's a co-ed gym, so you can't do that.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Plus, I just don't want to see it. I see enough disgusting stuff in the locker room. But, man, double knee replacement. Ugh.
That sucks.
Good luck with that, man. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So there's only one guy on Twitch, and he's kind of a jerk, so I'll probably shut down the Twitch here in a minute. Figures, you only got one. It's the one guy who's always ripping me for stuff on there, so I think we're probably going to we'll give it 5 more minutes. If the people don't want to weigh in with useful stuff, then it'll go in the garbage. So I got some movie news. It's not quite Hoffman on Hollywood, but can I do some movie news?
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this, but one of my favorite war movies is Midway. It's made in like 1970s, Charlton Heston.
Oh, okay. I've never seen it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, though. But they kind of made these sort of, I don't want to call them propaganda movies, but they did one about Pearl Harbor. They did one about Midway. And, you know, it was kind of a series. I loved it. Well, they're doing a remake, which most of the time I don't like remakes. But if you think about how far special effects have come since the 1970s,
yeah,
I think it could be pretty cool. And so it's gonna start with the attack on Pearl Harbor, because that's sort of what led to the Battle of Midway. But if you've never seen that movie and you didn't really study World War II in history,
mm-hmm.
it's a really cool story that you should read up on if you're a proud American. About how
questioning people's, you're challenging American.
I'm just saying it's something you'd be interested in if you're okay. Proud, because the battle itself is pretty fascinating. How they were able to beat back the Japanese, who had superior forces, by outsmarting them and by hiding ships and all kinds of stuff. So so I'm really looking forward to this. And the director is the guy who did Independence Day, Godzilla, The Day After Tomorrow, and Independence Day Resurgence. So I'm guessing he's going to go big with it. But 1976 was the original.
Okay.
So here's another one for you. Apparently, there's going to be yet another RoboCop movie.
Oh,
please stop with this one. We go from one I'd like to see to one I don't want to see. But a RoboCop 2 is still in the works, based on the remake of the RoboCop that was a complete flop that they did a couple years ago.
Did you watch that?
I got about halfway through it, and I'm like, this is so bad.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Yeah. And here's another one for you, another possible remake, which I actually, again, my first thought was, no, nobody needs a remake of this. And then I heard who wanted to do it, and I'm kind of like,
So Fletch.
No, not Fletch.
Damn, that'd be good.
It might be time for a Fletch remake.
Yeah.
Who would you put as Fletch, though? Because Chevy Chase is too old.
Way too old. That's a good idea. Let me think on that.
Okay.
I'll give you some.
Well, this would be a remake of Twins, which had Arnie and Danny DeVito.
Oh, yeah. I've heard
not a great movie.
Not a great movie.
But did you see who wants to do it?
No.
Jason Momoa wants to do it with Peter Dinklage. Now, that would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. So... yeah, if you're going to do... Of course, that one was released in 88 and made $216 million worldwide on a $15 million budget. I always wondered what happened to the love interest in there for him, because she was pretty hot at the time, and I've never seen her since. Too lazy to look it up.
Yeah.
So, just a couple little movie things for you. And there's one more. Apparently, there's just tons of... like, it's not coming out yet until the end of the month, I think, but the DVD version of Endgame Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's like tons of extra footage. And that thing was long enough as it is, but they're going to have the special edition is going to have all kinds of extra stuff in it. And I really want to see that movie again. All right, that wasn't just good for a superhero movie. That was a damn good movie.
It was a good movie.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm giving some thought to Fletch and who could play Fletch. And I've come down to a couple.
Okay.
And you can decide. Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd would be a great Fletch.
Okay.
He might be the best comedic guy out there right now.
My other guy was Ashton Kutcher. He hasn't done anything in a while.
Yeah, he'd be good. Ryan Reynolds would be good. I think Paul Rudd would be my choice.
I think Paul Rudd might be the guy.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about a Porky's remake. Been wanting.
Who's going to play Kim Cattrall?
I've been wanting one of those. That's necessary.
That's still one of the best scenes ever when she's howling in there. And yeah, Robert said, Tora, Tora, Tora. That's the other movie I was thinking of. Those are some good movies, man.
Isn't Porky's one of those movies that, like, you wish you could watch with your son? Like, to, you know, but your son, my son's too young. Your son, you probably could.
My son, actually.
Would it be weird for you to watch Porky's with your son?
Probably, but you know what happens in 8 days? He's 21 years old. So.
Is he still a virgin?
I don't know. I think so.
Oh, God. He needs to watch Porky's.
He does. He does. But, yeah.
Oh, what a great movie. What a brilliant.
God, I haven't seen that in so long.
What a brilliant movie.
I got the pig's tooth.
There's no greater plot of a, like, for a coming of age movie than kids trying to lose their virginity. I mean, that's
what kids do.
You've never seen Porky's, have you, Aaron?
I saw it years and years ago. Okay. Like, and I was 11 or 12.
But you know what? That's not a movie that comes on very much anymore.
Oh, no.
You can't find it.
No, it's wildly inappropriate. And,
oh, yeah.
But Porky's was a movie that it had a. The name of the movie was, it was, I guess, sort of PC enough that if you rented it and brought it home, your parents didn't really bat an eye at it.
Right.
But you just had to wait. And it was like a summertime movie because once your parents went to bed, you could watch that movie.
Yeah.
And then once I got a VCR in my room, I would watch Porky's, Porky's 2. Porky's 2 was horrible. Porky's Revenge I would watch. And then there was like a, I think it was just three of them, Porky's movies. But Porky's 2 and 3 were bad, but the original Porky's is a very good movie.
Yeah,
I'd say very good movie. It's probably not a good movie. I haven't seen it in forever, and it probably doesn't hold up, but everybody should watch it.
Yeah, it's funny because there's some movies that don't hold up. Like, I watched The Jerk with Steve Martin again about a year ago, and I'm like, why did I think this was the funniest thing ever when I was a kid?
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I thought that was a brilliant movie.
Well, growing up, I thought it was hilarious, and then now I'm watching it going, this just isn't funny.
Yeah.
But then there's some, like Blazing Saddles still holds up. I'll give you one that's very Porky's-like, same thing, kind of a innocuous name that you could hide from the parents, Hollywood Nights.
Oh, yeah.
With Robert Wool.
Yeah.
That was a great coming-of-age movie as well.
All right. Got to tell you about TGS Insurance. Now, from Porky's to home insurance. Now you're a responsible adult. You got to have home insurance and you want to save money. TGS is the way to do it, guys. And it's so simple. They've built a system that'll give you a good, firm quote in just 15 seconds. All you got to do is grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. The system will ask for your address. You send that back, and they'll send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company, these savings, they're legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. The average customer from this year is saving over $870 on their home insurance. And you don't need to wait till your renewal because they'll take care of all the back end, all the nonsense, all the paperwork. You can free your mind and start saving today. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and start saving now.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. See, I'm following the Twitchers. I need to figure out how to block on here, though. Once I do that, it'll be good. So I got one guy I got to get rid of. Who's a total dickweed, by the way. Some great great comments on the Porky stuff. I think John says, Porky's and Revenge of the Nerds gave a 10-year-old me my very first glimpse of full frontal female nudity.
Yeah.
Didn't know I was looking at, but I knew I liked it and wanted to see more.
Yeah. Someone was asking, is Porky's essentially like an old American pie? Is that, do those relate?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure out.
I mean, I guess it's kind of the same premise.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Because it was kind of different. I'm trying to think of what a.
The difference is in Porky's, the goal in Porky's isn't to like have sex with another high school kid, it's to go buy a hooker.
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to think what a comp would be for our younger listeners. Because.
Just go watch Porky's.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure that there's some movie that did this. Because, like, for me, the first full frontal nudity thing was.
It came out in 1981.
Wow. Maybe that was. I guess Fast Times might have been my first full frontal nudity. The Phoebe Cates scene, which is legendary. You had to have seen that, Aaron.
Yes.
Okay. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Waiting to see if we can get Lance Erline. Jesse said, full transparency, I have 7 brothers, and one of them showed me the movie Porky's when I was 10.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Talked my way to my first viewing of real boobs at age 11 from the lessons learned in Porky's. That's a well played, Jesse. Well played. And Drunk Bevo said, watched it at like age 5, made me a man.
That's right.
And Nick says it was American Pie for me because he's a 90s baby. Yeah, I guess. I guess we all have our coming-of-age movies. Revenge of the Nerds kind of counts, too, from that era.
Oh, here's something on Porky's. In 2002, Howard Stern acquired the remake rights and has long hoped to produce a remake of the film. The potential remake ran into legal trouble in 2011 when 2 other production companies stepped forward claiming to own the rights. In 2013, the parties reached a confidential settlement and agreed to dismiss a claim and counterclaim with prejudice. The terms of the settlement remain confidential, and to date, if it allows for Stern's remake to be made, is unknown.
Why am I not shocked that Howard Stern and you love the same damn movie?
I mean, I don't know, but that he should remake it.
Yeah, Fast Times was 1982. Jeez.
Older than Porky, or newer than Porky's.
Yeah, by what, a year?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I saw Fast Times before I saw Porky's. Because I saw Fast Times in the theater when it came out. And Porky's, I think I saw for the first time when it was on cable, which had been about a year later. So, man, feeling old.
When did Stripes come out? I remember seeing boobs and Stripes.
Oh, Stripes was another one. And have you seen pictures of what PJ Souls looks like now?
No.
Dude, I mean, she's hideous. And I mean, 81 for Stripes. It's scary. I don't even know if she's still alive, but like she ballooned up nicely. And just, I mean, she looks like she got big and methy at the same time.
That's too bad.
Yeah, here's a photo of her. This is from a couple years ago.
Not all that great.
Well, that was 2008. I don't know. Maybe she's better. Oh, no, this one's. This one, I don't know what year, but not. I mean, she was so smoking hot in that movie, too. That was, wasn't Sean Young the other one?
I don't know who they were.
I think it was Sean Young was the other hot chick. She held up pretty well.
Another, how many movies have you seen like where you're watching and it's like, oh, this is a really uncomfortable nude scene. Like you almost feel like it's,
there's a lot of those for me. I've become kind of a prude, especially now. There's just a lot of scenes. I don't need to see this.
Like think back to like, remember the, Clockwork Orange, the singing in the rain scene.
Like, yeah, when dude, like, that's a rape scene. That's not a sex scene. That's yeah.
But it's a nude scene in a movie.
Yeah, still.
But there's several of them. Like the girl with the dragon tattoo had a rape scene.
That was awful. Yeah.
Did you ever watch the movie Kids?
I don't think so.
Came out in the mid. Have you ever seen that, Aaron?
No.
That's a good movie, but there's a rape scene in that movie that's really uncomfortable. Yeah, so sometimes
I would think the one in Clockwork Orange might be the most disturbing to me because I can't hear that song now without thinking about that, which was the point of the whole movie, was conditioning. And so now I'm conditioned. I hear that song and I'm grossed out. So somebody says Meatballs was my comedy nudity go to as a kid.
That's a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah. Let's get our buddy Lance Zierlein on.
I feel the same way about the Rockets free agency situation. When they forced my eyes open and watched Jimmy Butler immediately sign with Miami. I watched Kids, by the way. I saw the scene you're talking about with Forrest Dominguez.
Yeah. Did you like that movie?
It's very disturbing. Yeah. Highly disturbing. It's up there with the movie 13. If you have a daughter at all, the movie 13 is not a movie you should be watching.
What is the movie you think of, like when you think back to childhood, when you first started to see boobs in movies and chub up a little bit? What was the first ones that you got into?
Porky's.
That's what I was saying. Porky's is up there. Porky's for sure. Is Porky's, would you relate that to American Pie for the younger generation?
Yeah. Same exact thing.
Okay.
Same exact thing. A little bit stripes. They had a scene, I think. But no, Porky's and American Pie to me would be, yeah, those would be along the same lines.
Well, now on to pressing matters, like what the Rockets aren't doing in free agency. I will say, you know, I don't know what kind of a fit Jimmy Butler would have been here, but Jimmy Butler would have showed up tomorrow and been the second best player on this team. Fred and I were discussing this. Who's more to blame for the Rockets fans' hopes being crushed here? Is it the media or is it the Rockets? Because it seems like they were both kind of leading us on that this Jimmy Butler thing was a possibility.
What do you think the media gets it?
Well, that's what I say. I think that, I mean, Daryl Morey this time was almost blatant with it, basically saying everybody's available for trade except for James and Chris, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of the Rockets were tied the most to Jimmy Butler. Now, you could argue that the Rockets are obviously a much sexier team than the Miami Heat, especially when it comes to storyline. But I think the Rockets have always done, you know, Woj and Zach Lowe, and Daryl has his guys he leaks stuff to. And I think, I think Dell this morning actually had a phrase that I thought was actually pretty apropos. He called it hope peddling. And he kind of Rockets are being involved in hope peddling, where a lot of Rocket fans thought, boy, this Jimmy Butler thing is going to go down. I mean, I kind of believed it after everything I was reading. And then the Rockets don't even get a meeting. He's one and done with Miami. And, you know, on top of that, they put out there that Clint Capella was going to be available, or Clint Capella, a deal was worked out for Clint Capella if it's contingent upon Jimmy Butler signing. I mean, how does all that stuff get out in the media? I think it all comes from the Rockets. Leaks within the Rockets. It typically will come from either, it's going to come from a team source or an agent source. But I think the Rockets wanted all this stuff out there, and I don't know, because it's pretty much their MO. We've always known when they've been after Carmelo in the past. We've always known when they've been after LeBron. Daryl made it known, you know, what his MO was going to be for when he wanted to sign Marcin Gortat way back in the day. Like the Rockets are pretty transparent with their free agency stuff. So I think, you know, because they're so transparent, that could potentially be used against them from a hope standpoint. But I think it clearly is them. I mean, I think they're the ones who are pushing this stuff, and I think it came back to bite them, because now fans are already antsy, right? They're already antsy after this last one. And now some people are getting their hopes up about Jimmy Butler, and you have nothing to show for it.
Yeah, I'll blame us a little bit too. Well, not us specifically, but the fact that we keep running with this crap when there was never any indication that Jimmy Butler wanted to come here, and we talked about that on the video we did for Sports Map last week. It's just right. And yet everybody's running with it with, oh, this Jimmy Butler's Jimmy, because Woj did it, and like Listen, when has Woj gotten a trade right for the Rockets or a signing right for the Rockets in forever? I mean, it is, even if it's coming from the Rockets or agents or whomever, the fact that we're running with this stuff when there was no chance it was going to happen, it's kind of on us, too.
Well, if Woj says something, though, it's usually, you know, it's pretty Schefter-ish, I think, for the most part, if I were to make a comparison. And he gets it directly from a Rocket. I mean, I think he gets the stuff directly from Daryl, so... I would, okay, then why is Woj running? Now, Woj has also said the Rockets are going to make him. Well, okay. I mean, I don't think that was untrue, that Jimmy Butler was the Rockets' key, you know, was who the Rockets were keying on. And maybe it's us speculating, saying, okay, well, if the Rockets are going to do it, who could they trade and what would they have to trade? And Miami just seems like a team, like, why would Jimmy Butler, and how could look at and you say, why would Jimmy Butler go to Miami Heat? I mean... They're not as close to winning. It doesn't, and I know they moved to Hassan Whiteside today. The Miami thing just doesn't make a lot of sense from a narrative standpoint, other than maybe he wanted to live in Miami. How about that? Maybe he, that's part of what he wants to do. Maybe he liked that organization better. I'm wondering if there are guys who just don't want to play with James Harden.
I think it's worth wondering, and I also think if we've kind of reached a point where pressure starts to go a little bit on Daryl Morey, who, you know, is you know, whether he's the one who's pushing this or not, it's getting out there, and it when it doesn't work out, it looks like a failure on him. It's kind of egg on his face, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, it's about what you end up doing as opposed to, like, I never killed Daryl for, I know I didn't look at the Carmelo thing, I hated, but they got away from Carmelo pretty early, and by the end of the year, my own radio partner was saying this team is deeper and better suited to win a championship than last year's team. And I didn't think that was necessarily untrue, other than the fact that Chris Paul wasn't the same player. And when it's all said and done, who cares if Kenneth Faried and Daniel House and these guys are making the Rockets a deeper team? We found out it was insignificant because they didn't even play. It's about who your second best player is, who your number one and your number two and your number three are. And Chris Paul, your number two, wasn't good enough in the playoffs. But, you know, I think Daryl did. He didn't have a ton of money to spend. Money was already committed to Chris Paul. They did what they had to do. That was part of their deal from last year. And so I really judged him on what he did during the year, and I think he did a darn good job in the buyout market. However, I can see how you can say, okay, well, you brought in Carmelo, and that was a strikeout. You tried to line up Jimmy Butler, and that was a strikeout. You gave Chris Paul all this money, and that could turn out to be a really, really bad issue, not just from a bad contract performance-wise, but also some beef between your number one and your number two guy. I think with Tillman Fertitta, there's going to be a lot more accountability and a little more volatility out of the owner. So, yeah, I don't think it's crazy. I feel like Daryl is one of the best GMs in all of sports with what he's able to do and his understanding of the cap and all that. But at some point, it just becomes like Marty Schottenheimer found out with the Chargers. It just becomes about winning the championship and competing for a championship. And at some point, everyone gets tired of that, you know, of coming up short. And now you've got an owner who's, you know, more likely to start, you know, at any point could end up turning on Daryl, I think. Even though I know he just gave him an extension. But I do think, at some point, the buck isn't going to stop at James Harden for a while. So you better get ready for Daryl Morey, because first it's going to be Mike D'Antoni, but Morey could be the next guy in the line of fire.
How much does Toronto going for it all and winning it, how much pressure does that, does Tillman look at that and say, hey, why can't we do this?
Well, I think they did it with Chris Paul. I mean, they committed to a bad deal last year. What we found out is that was part of what they committed to. And I don't know, that was what Les Alexander had agreed to initially. When Tillman bought the team, he kind of accepted that deal, which was, hey, we gotta make good on this Chris Paul money that we promised him. So I think they did, in a way, go for it, because they knew they were going to have to give out a questionable contract with Chris Paul. So, you know, and I think they went after Jimmy Butler. I mean, I do think they'd go for it. Daryl Morey, if there's one thing the Rockets don't do, lay up. I mean, they go after the green and two all the time. But that was a move. I kind of felt like Jimmy Butler was one of those moves that now you got three guys tied up with long-term deals. I felt like that one could have turned into an absolute disaster. But as it stands now, they're just re-signing everybody back, the old gang, and now I guess they're going to, you know, work on getting a mid-level exception out there for somebody, and we'll see what they come up with. But there's one thing, Daryl does kind of swing for the fences. He doesn't always land, but I do think they probably look at their Chris Paul move as something where they did have a shot at pulling a Kawhi moment last year, had the off-injured Chris Paul been able to not be off-injured at the end of the year.
I mean, isn't it kind of crazy that the one guy that they do sign to a long-term deal is Daniel House, a guy they couldn't even work onto the floor against the Warriors?
Yeah, it's frustrating, too. Like, how does he not hit the court at all? Granted, if you didn't like what you saw in one game, I mean, he can't get any minutes somewhere else. An energy player like Fareed can't get any minutes at any point. And he can't come back on the court at any point against the Warriors. Of all the teams, I thought, come on, you got an outside shooter and you got an energy player who can match some of their energy. That just, you know, to me, that just told me Mike D'Antoni's always going to be that guy. When you're on his bench, you're on his bench, and that's it in the playoffs.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench 7 to 9 every morning. Follow him on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein.
So the weather the same in Canada as here?
No, it wasn't. I went from 104 in Vegas to 49 in Saskatoon. Yeah, and then when we left Calgary, it was 47, and it was 102 when we got home. So,
yeah. Well, I was at Riel Restaurant yesterday on Canada Day.
Yeah, we were going to go, and then something came up. But it's
I used to doing shots with the guys from Winnipeg.
So, yeah, I wish I'd known you were going. We'd have shown up.
Yeah, it got a little rowdy in there for Canada Day, trust me.
Yeah, we're probably doing the Maple Leaf after the show tonight for the real
candidate. Of course you are.
So, yeah, but I wanted to go because it looked like a lot of fun, and I don't. Oh, the wife had to work last night. That's what it was. She's doing month end close. So.
Yeah, they were able to find some alcohol in there last night.
Ah, damn! Sorry, I missed it. All right, Lance, we will talk soon, buddy.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. We're gonna take a quick break, man. Everybody's just weighing in still on these. TV, Police Academy, Trading Places, Blue Lagoon, Bachelor Party. I loved a Bachelor Party. Mine was a sitcom series on HBO called Dream On. I always wondered what happened to, because that was like a big deal for HBO way back in the day, like 90s, early 90s. I always wondered what happened to that dude, Brian Benben, I think was his name.
Wasn't Brooke Shields like a little kid?
Yeah, that's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, at this point, an uncomfortable nude scene.
Well, don't you think basically almost every nude scene in Animal House wound up being uncomfortable? Like, those don't really hold up as like he's hooking up with a 14-year-old girl or whatever.
But she wasn't really 14. The actress wasn't.
No, but...
In the movie, she was. That makes me less uncomfortable because that's comedy. As yeah. Brooke Shields, the actual actress, was 14 years old.
Yeah, I don't think 14-year-old nude scenes are good either, fake or real.
So. Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. Are we going to have time for a segment here? Okay. All right, be right back. It's Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.